It is interesting, isn't it, Tanya, that for 20 years with our rolled up sleeves and our good intentions, our well-meaning programs, our humanitarian gestures, the number of homeless people, despite all of our effort, all of our intent, continued to rise. And that's why what we're doing in this country has taken on a different turn. It's only in recent years, based on better research and business principles, that we've been able to rally an economic reason to respond to the issue of homelessness. And that specifically, we never quite understood how expensive homeless people were. And when we do cost-benefit studies, and of course some people say, what do cost-benefit studies have to do with homelessness? Well, what we're discovering is they have everything to do with it if you're trying to end this moral and spiritual disgrace.
The economic interests that you allude to also have influenced some of the policy around dealing with homelessness. And we've seen an increase in the criminalization of homelessness. For a number of years, I was covering homeless issues in Orlando, where the local government made it illegal for homeless people to sit down anywhere but on a bench. They outlawed the Feed the Homeless in the Park programs that many of the churches were doing, and they painted boxes on the sidewalks, and anyone who wanted to panhandle could only do so within the box, and if they were outside the box, they faced fines or jail time.
What we've discovered, and again, here's where data and research is so helpful, what we've discovered across the country is that the punitive response to homelessness has never worked. It may hide the problem for 30 or 60 or 90 days, but it has never worked in actually solving the problem of homelessness. 30 years ago, I would go down to Skid Row in Los Angeles, which is 30 square blocks where about 4,000 Americans live literally on the sidewalk in tents on cardboard boxes. You think you've crossed actually over the border into a third world favela, but there you are in the entertainment capital of the world. In the 1970s, they were doing police sweeps there. I went back in the 80s, they were doing police sweeps. I went back in the 90s, they were doing police sweeps. And since I was appointed, and I've been in Washington for the last 6 years, I've gone back about five times to Skid Row. They're still doing police sweeps. If the punitive efforts would work, Skid Row would be history. But in fact, it's still there, and it's worse than ever.
One of the things that you have advocated for is not just providing more shelter beds and getting people into shelters, but rather permanent housing for homeless folks. Talk about how that would work.
Well, again, that's where data and research is so helpful to us, because what we've learned, despite what the myths and the stereotypes indicate, which often is, well, homeless people prefer to be out on the street. They choose that lifestyle. They want to be out there in that culvert under that bridge. The hard reality is, the vast majority, 99% of homeless people, desire one thing. When I ask them all over the country, and I meet with homeless people literally all over the country, and I ask them what they want, they never say a pill, a program, or a protocol. They ask for one thing, a place to live. And that, we've discovered through cost-benefit analysis, is actually less expensive than managing people's homelessness. The range around the country is that managing homelessness with people randomly ricocheting into very expensive health and law enforcement systems, that costs between $35,000 and $150,000 a year per person. The cost of providing a place to live, a room or an efficiency apartment, and support services to support people's tenancies, that range is between $13,000 and $25,000 a year. So literally, the cost of ending the moral disgrace, being consumer-centric, and providing the antidote to people's homelessness is less expensive than simply managing their homelessness, shuffling people through the emergency room of hospitals, through police interventions, and court and law enforcement costs.
Some homeless advocates, though, have criticized the Bush administration's emphasis on helping individual single men and women that are homeless. They say that it's shortchanged the families who maybe aren't as visible. Your response to that criticism that families are shortchanged?
Well, first of all, just to say, back in the work that I did on the issue of homelessness in Massachusetts, which spanned about 22 years before my current exile in Washington, I spent a great deal of my time working with homeless families and ensuring that efforts for homeless families were actually ending their homelessness. I created housing and created family lodging houses for homeless families. I can assure you I brought that to Washington. And the efforts that are continuing in Washington has a priority on people who are on the streets, long-term disabled, very vulnerable people, literally the people who die on the streets, and those are homeless individuals. One of my chosen tasks in cities is to look at the death list. Those death lists are populated by people experiencing what the researchers call chronic homelessness, that is long-term homelessness with disabilities. Those are the people who literally die in the street. We do have a priority for them.
Because, of course, some of the critics would say you have the greatest opportunity to break a cycle of poverty and homelessness and problems when you deal with the family.
There's no question that families are a priority, but it's not moms and dads who are dying on our streets. It's not children who are dying on our streets.
Do you feel confident with the numbers that we have on homelessness? There was the big count a couple of years ago, a very ambitious count, but critics, of course, said that it wasn't really a true snapshot. If you look in Alabama, for instance, there's the issue of rural homelessness, and folks may not appear to be homeless. They're not sleeping underneath bridges. They are bouncing from one friend or family member's couch to another. So do you think that snapshot we have, the numbers of homeless, captures it?
Well, you certainly raise an important issue with regard to rural homelessness. We're very attuned to the fact that those numbers are increasing. And in a place like Alabama, that needs to be a large part of state planning around this issue. The research that was done earlier this year is actually now corroborated by the major national homeless advocacy organization, USA Today, the newspaper, and by the federal government. We all agree that on any given night in our country, sadly, there are about 750,000 Americans who are homeless on the street, homeless in shelters, or homeless in other uninhabitable situations. And what that research indicates is that over the course of a year, more than 2 million Americans experience homelessness in our country. That's obviously a disgrace. It's a national, moral, spiritual disgrace.